Welcome back to Disclaimers Aside, a bi-weekly podcast where I share the raw and honest stories of people in my community, Disclaimers Aside. I'm your host, Aisida Amadu, and let's dive into today's episode. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Disclaimers Aside. How are you guys doing? For me, it is about midsummer. I come from a semester system school, so I've been in summer for about like a month and a half at this point. And I think going into summer, I was really excited about the idea of a slow OC summer until the reality of what that meant hit me. A slow summer means that not every day is gonna be exciting and off of your Pinterest board. There are gonna be days that feel boring. I think especially coming back from college where there's always something to do or somewhere to be, it's definitely an adjustment for sure. The past few weeks, I've been really trying to strike that balance and have days where I don't necessarily go out, because really my objective for the summer is like, I really, knowing that I wasn't going to travel, I wanted to make time for the things that I don't get to really indulge in during the year, like reading and trying out new recipes. And so this week, last week, I actually filmed a reading vlog, which always love filming reading vlogs for my YouTube channel because it really just pushes me to like focus on reading and getting back into reading during that week. And I read two amazing books. The first one is 28 Summers by Ellen Hildebrand. Ellen Hildebrand is like the queen of summer reads. All of her books take place on this island called Nantucket, which is like an island a couple hundred miles off the coast of New York. And it was so good. Like the minute I started reading that book, I was just consumed and it took up my entire week. The perfect fun summer read. I felt like it balanced being a fun, fluffy summer read with having some more hard-hitting elements. The other book that I read was Did You Hear About Kitty Carr by Crystal Smith Paul. And this is like the new Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, as I was describing it, but better, because I think it combines like that old Hollywood aspect of the Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo with like the themes of that classic book Passing by, I think her name is like Nellie Larson or something like that. But that book was really, really interesting. It quickly became one of my favorite books that I read this year. So I was surprised when I was rating it on Goodreads and I saw that it only had an average rating of like 3.8 stars. What's going on? Because this book is so good. It is a new release, so I'm sure not a lot of people have heard of it, but you guys should definitely go check that out. Over on the Disclaimers Aside podcast Instagram, I shared, I think, 5 or 6 summer book recs. So if you guys are looking for some fun summer reads to get into this summer, definitely go check out that post. I've also been trying to work out consistently this summer. That's definitely something that I feel like I don't really have as much time for in the school year. And it's been nice to have something that creates some sort of semblance of a routine in my life, because when it's summer, it's so easy to feel like the days are passing and nothing is really happening. And so I'm finding very quickly that I'm like looking forward to my little afternoon workout because it brings back that sense of routine into my life. The check-in question for this week is, what is something you guys are looking forward to? I'm gonna put up this question over on the Disclaimers Aside Instagram. For me, tomorrow is Eid and I'm really, really excited for Eid al-Adha. It's definitely the more low-key Eid of the two Eids, but I always look forward to Eid. It's such a fun time to just, you know, dress up in your cultural clothes, see your loved ones, eat good food. And one of the few opportunities I think that we get these days to celebrate something. So this week, I really wanted to talk about individualism versus collective community. And this is in the sense of like comparing Western society and culture to Eastern society and culture. So with this topic in mind, my unpopular opinion this week, disclaimers aside, is that individualism can be a bad thing. It sounds like it has no negative aspects to it. Individualism a lot of the times is associated with independence, because when you think about it, independence is such a core value of individualism. But hyper-individualism can be a bad thing in the way that it can promote selfishness. And as you'll realize pretty quickly listening to this episode, the main lesson, the main takeaway is that neither the individualistic approach or the collective community approach to society is necessarily on its own right. But I think a balance is of a balance of both is important for a society to prosper. So I'm not saying either approach is perfect, but I do want to have a conversation about the nuances of an individualistic versus a collective society, because being Mauritanian American, I exist in the intersection and I kind of see the pros and cons of both. It's something that has just kind of been in the back of my mind that I've been thinking about recently that I wanted to kind of have a discussion with you guys about. So let's start off and talk about individualism. We can't start this conversation without a proper definition. Individualism is defined as, quote, a philosophical and social ideology that emphasizes the moral worth and importance of the individual. It places a strong emphasis on personal freedom, autonomy, and self-reliance. Individualism holds that individuals have inherent rights and should be free to pursue their own interests, goals, and desires without undue interference or constraint from others or the state. At its core, individualism emphasizes the fact that we are each unique, self-determining human beings, and that we should have autonomy over things like our career, who we want to marry, what we want to pursue, and how we want to live our lives. It places the individual at the center of concern, which is where I think some of the drawbacks of individualism can come into play. The US, similar to a lot of Western countries, is a very individualistic society. When I think of individualism within the scope of the US, I think of things like the American dream, pulling yourself up from your bootstraps, and this kind of rags to riches fantasy that American culture is so obsessed with. I say fantasy because in a lot of the ways it is a fantasy. The bubble bursts when you grow up as a person of color in America, because once you learn the way the world actually works, you realize the American dream was not written for people that look like you and me. A lot of the times you're raised to understand that as a person of color, you have to work two times as hard to receive half the credit. But when you actually realize that for yourself, it becomes this like transformative moment into a mature mindset. But returning back to this discussion of how individualism is ingrained in American culture, we grow up in the US promoting this idea of autonomy. From the age of 5, adults ask us questions like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Career fairs start in elementary school, and there's this growing pressure to have your whole life planned out so that the minute you turn 18, you can start laying down the brick and mortar. I think a lot of people my age are experiencing some of the negative side effects of buying into this pressure when they experience a life crisis, because the dreams they've had since they were 6 to become a doctor has changed. I honestly have a lot of fear for the next generation, because over time there has been such a major assault on childhood. Kids aren't being allowed to be kids anymore. And when you spend your entire life having tunnel vision, hyper-fixating on this dream that you've had since you were a kid, I think it makes it all the more challenging to pivot when it doesn't work out for you or you realize that's not what you want anymore. Mind you, I'm not saying young people shouldn't have dreams or goals, but rather that children should be pushed to have an open mind and be given the space to explore, especially the younger that kids are. That's one thing I'm really grateful for, is that my parents didn't really pressure me to pursue a certain career from a really young age, because I think that we should all be given the ability to kind of come to a decision of like what we want to pursue in our lives. And I think also something that becomes challenging when you're pushed from such a young age to follow this certain path or go down this certain path is, even if for the longest time ever that's something you buy into or that's something you want to do, you come to a point in your life one day where you question whether or not you have that dream because that's actually what you want for yourself, or just because that's something that you've adopted to make please your parents and make your parents happy. Another aspect of individualism is the pressure to be independent at such a young age. I think this is only exacerbated these days by social media and just like the rise of influencer culture, because I know for myself, it definitely distorted my perception of reality growing up and seeing these 15 and 16 year olds make like all this money buying their first car, moving to LA, and buying their first house. It contributes to this culture that almost stigmatizes living at home after you turn 18. And you see it in the media, how young adults exhibit this hyper-independence. I think this culture can stigmatize things like moving back home after you graduate or living with your parents to save on rent. And it was interesting to see how the pandemic also just kind of shifted things, because with the pandemic, that definitely became a lot more normalized, especially with jobs becoming more remote. But I know for myself, after I graduated high school, I really wanted to move away from home. That's like something that it was just a deep-seated dream. I even wanted to move to the East Coast and go to college there, but I ended up just deciding to like apply to California schools primarily and staying within California. But I really wanted to experience a new environment, and I was really excited about the prospect of growing from that experience. But not everyone wants that. Not everyone can afford that, and that's okay. I don't think idealizing this experience is necessarily a good thing, especially when there is something important to be gained from taking the time to stay home for a few extra years if you need. I also think a lot of the negative aspects of the stigma in living with your parents as an adult feeds into toxic individualism. A major example of this that still shocks me today, like I'm still experiencing this culture shock even though I was born in the US and everything like that. Like I've lived my entire life in the US, but because of my culture and my religion, this is still like a major culture shock for me, is seeing people put their parents in retirement homes. Obviously, not everyone's case is the same, and not everyone has the resources to take care of your parents like in their old age themselves, but I think it's kind of like this sentiment behind disposing of your parents once you become a fully actualized adult. It's crazy to me that after years of taking care of you and raising you up from nothing, you would turn around and dump them on an institution. This is one of the major areas where I think the collective community does better. Individualism, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think that it does have important values at its core, and it's definitely shaped like the trajectory of my own life. But I think when collectivism is lost, it creates a society that quickly becomes selfish and loveless. And so let's talk about the collective community. What is that? This is kind of a term that I came up with to just describe what is defined as, quote, a social system or cultural framework in which the interests, goals, and well-being of the group or collective are prioritized over the interests of individual members. In such a society, individuals are expected to conform to the norms, values, and goals of the collective, often sacrificing some personal autonomy and freedom for the greater good of the group. In a collective society, the emphasis is on cooperation, collaboration, and the welfare of the community as a whole. Decisions and actions are often made collectively, involving consensus building or hierarchical structures that ensure the group's interests are taken into account. This can be seen in various aspects of society, including governance, economic systems, and social relationships. I would say my parents grew up in a collective community for sure. In Mauritania, everything is communal in every sense of the word. The houses you grow up in, the meals you share, it's this like multi-generational model. And when you visit homes in Mauritania, you'll find multiple families living with one another. My grandmother's house, for example, Yarhamha, and my mom's childhood home had uncles, aunts, cousins, grandparents, spouses. Everyone was living together in this like one house. And so growing up, I know I always looked forward to visiting my mom's childhood home because it was always full of people, which was so different from my own childhood. And it's the same thing with my dad's home. Both my parents grew up in this environment that was so contrarian to the American ideal of like the nuclear family. And this really impacted their experience and I think their outlook on life. In a collective society, you're constantly surrounded by people. You have a much larger support system at your fingertips. And I think this has a major impact on the mental health of people. This is something that I notice like every time I go back home, is that people are just so much happier back home, which obviously could be explained by so many different factors. Mauritania as a whole technologically is a bit behind the US, like I would say like 40 years behind. And so they're not as like ingrained in things like social media or just like the technological world. And they've kind of preserved a little bit of just like living in the moment and just like being with one another rather than being glued to digital screens. But I think there's also just a lot of isolationism that happens in an individualistic society. And so I think in terms of mental health, a collective community can be better. A drawback of this is definitely a major lack of privacy. When you're constantly surrounded by people and are navigating a society where everybody knows everybody, it can be hard to feel like you have autonomy over your own decisions because you're constantly thinking about the way your choices may be perceived by other people in your community. And that definitely holds you back from making the best decision for yourself. Another challenge is how households with a lot of people can make it challenging to focus and pursue individual life ambitions. The way my mom describes her childhood is that it was really hard to study, to find a space free from distractions, to focus, and the overall culture wasn't really pushing people from a young age to be ambitious. In part, I think this roots back to the way that in a community-based society, there is that safety net to fall back on. Worst case scenario, you have your family that will be eager to take you in, which is important, I think, in the way that you will rarely see homeless people in Mauritania. And there is such an overwhelming sense of support by your family and by your community. But at the same time, I think this is such a missing aspect of a progressive society, because I think a society does benefit from pushing the youth to be ambitious, to work hard, and to pursue the unimaginable. That innovative mindset is crucial for progress. And I think progress, it really does lie in the hands of the youth. So the way that you treat your youth, the way that you condition your youth is really going to be telling of how or what direction a country or a society will move towards. So I guess in conclusion, neither model of society is mutually beneficial. I think both have important aspects. And for me, like I recognize that I am privileged to be able to reap the benefits of both. Living in this intersection where I live in the West, but my parents still raised me with those values of collective community, of, you know, respecting your parents, of taking care of your parents in their old age, of giving back to your family, of supporting your family is so present in my life. Like, I know it is such a huge practice in POC communities to support your family financially, and not just your direct family. Like, I'm talking like extended family, like aunts and uncles. Like, that's something that I've seen my parents do, like, from a young age, is like send money back home. But it's something that like is so missing, I think, a lot of the times in such an individualistic society. And it's important. So I'm thankful to, you know, be able to have the positive aspects of my parents like pushing me from a young age and having the Western influence of like, you can do anything you want. You can pursue whatever dreams that you want from such a young age, because that definitely shaped me as a person. Like, I would consider myself a pretty driven and ambitious person, but I think a lot of that comes from the way that I was conditioned. Sometimes people can have that naturally, like that's a quality that people can have naturally, but I think when I reflect kind of on who I am as a person, I know that's not something that I have just inherently inside of me. It's definitely something that I've been conditioned, and that has arisen out of the way that I was raised and the way that I was conditioned by this individualistic society. So I feel like I kind of reap the benefits of both models, and I can see kind of the drawbacks of both. And because I am so a little bit more removed from this collective community, I don't really necessarily experience a lot of the drawbacks of it. And I think living in an individualistic society, like, I can kind of opt in and out because of the way that my parents' collective community approach influenced the way that I was conditioned. And so you can kind of like pick and choose like the best aspects of both worlds. But I think a balance of both is very healthy. I think both societies can learn from one another. And I think most of all, what's important when having these conversations is just a general respect and appreciation for both both types of living and both ways of life. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast episode. I know it was a little bit on the shorter side, but it's definitely a conversation that has been kind of on my mind. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. Definitely make sure to follow Disclaimers Aside on Instagram to be a part of the conversation. And I will chat with you guys in my next podcast episode. Bye.